What do you call the security guards outside of Samsung? The Guardians of the Galaxy. Hello, everyone. Happy Friday, and welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast hosted by me, Amelia Dalton, and brought to you by eejournal.com. Yes, my friends, my name is Amelia Dalton, and I love me some bad jokes. I also quite enjoy uncomfortable hugs, talking way too much to the clerk at the grocery store, and finding out that your grandfather had this whole other wife and family before he married your grandma, and now there's this whole other extra family to deal with? Okay, sorry. Totally personal tangent there. Yes, another uncomfortable thing that I enjoy, IoT security. Oh yeah. Hi there, giant security-sized elephant in the room. How are you? Yes, we are talking about IoT security and the hurdles we're all going to need to jump over to get security implemented into our IoT designs. Vinay Gohale, VP of Business Development of Third Wave, is joining us today to talk about all of this. Hi, Vinay. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Thanks, Amelia. Great to be here.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Third Wave all about?
First of all, we get a lot of questions about the name of the company. We think this is a third wave of communication, with the first two being place-to-place, the second being person-to-person. And in this world of IoT, we think of third wave as the third wave of communication between thing-to-thing. More specifically, I think what the company is all about is really, we're really focused on innovation in the software space to fill this gap between very, very capable silicon and very, very demanding applications. Just a little bit deeper to that, I think what I would add is that what we have found for ourselves is a seam, if you will, in terms of improving the security and the connectivity of these IoT systems, be that in the IoT device, in the smartphone app that controls that device, and the cloud, which tends to be the repository of the data from that device, as well as some capability of controlling that device. So to wrap it up, again, I would say that we're really focused on software innovation, filling this gap between the silicon and the application, focused on connectivity and security.
Okay, let's talk about that last bit, security. Now, it seems like security is becoming a bigger and bigger issue in IoT by the day. What do you think are the biggest hurdles in getting security implemented into IoT designs today?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're absolutely right. Security is almost in many cases an afterthought, but I think there's many, many hurdles, actually. But if I had to kind of pick the top three, we'll call the first one, this is from the perspective of a company that's going to be deploying an IoT system. The first hurdle is they assume that security exists when it actually does not. The second is what I call at least competitive complacency, which in my language, it means not wanting to add security to your IoT system just because competitors haven't added it to their systems. And the last hurdle that I would think about in this context is what I call this too little too late paradigm, which is by the time someone is forced to add security to their system, the system is already deployed and there's a patchwork or a band-aid type of solution that's applied. So those are kind of what I would think as the three major hurdles, but let me address each one in a little bit more detail. Assuming security that exists when it actually doesn't is what I call my first hurdle. And many companies that are deploying IoT systems are experts in their respective fields, but unrelated to that of cybersecurity. You know, for instance, a company that's making a connected washing machine or a connected industrial sensor is really focused on the ins and outs of that existing product, and at a first step, merely trying to connect that product or the data from that product to the web. These companies tend to assume that security is adequately provided by the technologies that they rely on in making that initial connection. For instance, as a specific example, some companies or many companies actually connect their product using Bluetooth, and they assume that Bluetooth or Bluetooth Low Energy, BLE, provides adequate security and makes that IoT device impenetrable and 100% secure from malicious use and other vulnerabilities. This is actually not at all the case. Many BLE connections do not resolve a vast number of threats that a typical IoT system faces. So anyway, this is all about this first hurdle about assuming security exists when it doesn't. The second is what I call competitive complacency. When a company is deploying an IoT system, they have their hands full in getting a whole host of issues deployed. And they're very careful in assessing their competitive products and leveraging the areas where their product attributes can be differentiated. In this process, they often assume that they can't or don't need to differentiate on the basis of security. In the worst case, they just assume that all systems will be hacked, so they don't bother to differentiate at all on the basis of security and copy or have an equivalent amount of security that their competitors have. Particularly for safety-critical IoT systems, these companies don't realize that adding security can be easy and a key point of differentiation where they can actually leave their sector as their system is deployed. So this is the second issue or second hurdle that I call competitive complacency. The third is this too late, too little paradigm, which is actually the case when many companies are dismayed when they hear that their IoT deployments have either been misused due to poor security or worse. Additionally, they panic when regulatory bodies are coming into their space and they require additional security in their systems that are fully deployed. In those cases, they're tempted to add band-aids to their deployments that actually don't fix the core security vulnerability in their system. So there's many other hurdles that we can talk about. And in our space, we call them different threat vectors that need to be addressed in deploying security in IoT systems. But these are the top three that come to mind.
Now, you guys have a new software platform for mission-critical platforms called AppAuth, which works in conjunction with your secure connectivity platform. But first, tell me more about this platform and how AppAuth is incorporated with it.
You know, as it relates to mission-critical platforms, again, in the earlier example, I gave you a couple examples of like a connected washing machine. And, you know, we find security important in all of these systems. But by mission-critical or safety-critical platforms, these are platforms that are involved, for instance, in drug delivery or securing, you know, the door of a car or a home, et cetera. And in particular, our platforms follow a philosophy which we call security by design. What that means is that efficient connectivity and security is baked into our solutions organically, and other functionality is added to the platform to make integration easy by our customers. So more specifically, as it relates to the secure connectivity platform, that platform abstracts all communication via high-level APIs or application programmer interfaces to make connecting to the IoT device really painfully easy. Additionally, it enables application layer security that complements the latent security in the underlying communication protocols such as Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. Our AppAuth platform works in conjunction with the secure connectivity platform to help manage the digital identity of the IoT device by issuing certificates that control the behavior and the privilege of each element of the IoT system. Further, AppAuth protects the customer's smartphone app by establishing a hardware root of trust and then hardens the app from reverse engineering and tampering. Both of these products, that is the AppAuth product as well as secure connectivity product, address three components in the IoT system, the IoT device, the smartphone app, and the cloud. Further, each of these platforms is modular so that customers have the ability to pick and choose the perfect combination to achieve the desired performance that they want in their deployed system.
Okay, great. Now, how would I get started using AppAuth?
Oh, that's actually really, really simple. I think as I alluded to, all of our products are really delivered in the form of SDKs. So for AppAuth, for that matter, even secure connectivity, IoT engineers basically adopt the SDK and develop their app around it. In our case, we have examples where it's been literally a week or 2 weeks for the customers to have full functionality of their device so they can start pressure testing, starting alpha, beta trials, what have you. So the process of getting started is really, really simple. We've abstracted all of the security layers, the connectivity layers, what have you, to make that process easy. Again, as I mentioned, the philosophy that we're following is security by design, and that kind of lends itself to this very, very easy adoption of our different SDKs. And then once deployed, you know, customers are really delighted in being able to manage the full lifecycle. They have a lot more visibility into how many apps that are being downloaded, what type of privileges the devices have, how those privileges are being utilized, the ability to invoke and revoke privileges all from a console in the cloud, et cetera, and all knowing that the security level is greatly, greatly increased in their deployment.
Very cool. All right, Vinay, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, I will ask you my standard off-the-cuff. If you had one last meal on planet Earth, that's all you'll get to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's a good question. I think I would pick like a barbecue, right? Because I'm a big fan of barbecues with family and friends and the food that goes along with it. So you name it. all of the elements of the barbecue and a picnic, I think. That would be my the one favorite meal that I would go back to.
That sounds like a perfect answer. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right. Well, wonderful. I appreciate you having me on and look forward to talking again.
And now it's time for a little news you may have missed. The world's worst malware edition. Yep, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. What we got here is one part art installation, one part computer malware Armageddon, and one part 2008 Samsung NC10 Blue Notebook. You'll want to take a closer look, my friends. You'll find all of your favorites. The infamous WannaCry from 2017, My Doom, an email worm from 2004, generally considered to be one of the fastest spreading computer viruses in all of history, and So Big, a worm from 2003 that reportedly caused over $37 billion in damages. This bad boy also includes I Love You, Dark Tequila, and Black Energy, and it could have been yours for just over $1.3 million. So, what exactly am I talking about? A new art installation, actually, called The Persistence of Chaos by digital artist Guo Dong. And yes, this 2008 laptop was infected with all of that malware and recently sold at a multi-day auction for $1.345 million. So Dong's motivation for putting together such a unique piece of computing art was to bring the abstract nature of these historical threats to life by presenting them in action on a laptop. As a side note here, since the sale of malware is actually illegal, it's also kind of curious how this auction actually ever took place. Now, in an effort to explain this curiosity, The Persistence of Chaos includes expansive terms and conditions, pointing out that the infected computer is in fact a work of art, and the sale is solely for artistic and academic study. Yeah, sure. So, if you're inclined, a Twitch live stream for this Persistence of Chaos project is still going on. For now. And if you want even more information about this crazy art installation, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Check it out. It's pretty cool. Now, without data centers, we would not have IoT. Without the right power connections, we would not have happy data centers or customers or IoT anything. And then we're all, well, yeah, you get the picture. But power connections present a major problem for hot swapping drawers in those data center racks. But there are some new answers for those power connection problems. And I've got the goods, my friends. Oh yes, recently I sat down with Brian Costello from TE Connectivity, and we talked all about TE's new sliding power solutions in a new Chalk Talk called Sliding Power from TE Connectivity. In this Chalk Talk, Brian and I are talking about how TE's new sliding power solutions can keep your gear powered up through those drawer pulls. Seriously, this one is cool. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. Can't miss it. It's right across the top. You can also click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or you can just head on over to YouTube. Keyword EE Journal. And hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, I will see you at the Design Automation Conference next week, my friends. Or even the best geeky hotspot in your city. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 31st, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.